You are listening to the Drew and Jay podcast brought to you by 21 Media Productions. He is Drew Lasker. I am Jay Marriott. This is episode 17. We head to the Southwest to spend some time with Bristol Flyers captain Rafael Thomas Edwards, a media guru turned league comms extraordinaire, Joel Osborne. Drew, how you doing, my man? How's your weekend?
Yeah, pretty good. Actually, I was up pretty late last night, so my morning got off to a rough start because I was up watching NBA League Pass, which I bought at the beginning of the year because I was like, I want to start following it more. But after the in-season tournament, kind of tailored off a little bit. But I was up late watching Tosin. Memphis Grizzlies only had 8 players, so I was like, okay, he's going to see a lot of minutes. He's playing in the Boston Garden. And, I mean, one of 5 players to ever reach 9 rebounds off the bench in the first quarter, which was amazing to see, you know, a kid from the Northeast. And what's cool about it is that a lot of kids that I train here in the Northeast, anytime that I see them slacking or anything, I pull up a video of Tosin working out. And I'm just like, if this is a guy that's on the cusp of the NBA, look at his intensity. And it's always an eye opener to him. But I mean, how cool is that, man, to have someone that we could touch, feel, who's out there doing his thing in the big league, a place that we've all had aspirations of just one dribble.
Well, what's been really fun, you're right, one dribble. That's all I want. I just want that's one it, dribble. Man. But yeah, it's been fun because you had Jeremy before, and usually we've had to wait, you know, generations before we see the next player coming through. And Tosin's been had a breakthrough, doing it the hard way, had to go put the hard yards in at the G League and getting noticed and rewarded for his effort. But like when I watch him play, like he's such an intelligent player. Like, so he's gonna fit into that league. And I think once he figures out what the requirements, what's being asked of him, he's only gonna get better and better. So that's really exciting. And also let's not forget, let's reach back into the past. Chris Finch has just been made the head coach for an All-Star game. So if you remember, Chris Finch, especially from the finals with all the past footage, was a Sheffield Sharks coach. Now got the keys to the Ferrari of the NBA as he enters his first All-Star game.
Yeah, it's just so much momentum in the British game. And actually on my timeline, I saw some random person, I don't know who he was, but just said of how there was a British basketball ad while he was watching NBA basketball. And so, you know, Chris Finch leading the All-Star game, and then you got Fab and Nick Nurse over at the 76ers doing a great job with Embiid. It's just British basketball is in just a really good place right now. And I mean, for you, are you okay, man? Because like I saw you in the storm last Wednesday. Like I didn't get to come have your bat, man. Like I was coaching, I was commentating. And by the time I got a chance to actually read through it, it was like I already missed the bus. Ain't no point of me kind of relighting that. But are you okay? I see a few battle scars there on your face. Like, I just want to.
Well, I just kind of like, I just kind of peeked up over there in the over the Twitter wall, you know, just had a little conversation. But actually, no, I found it really. I love having other people's perspectives, you know, and. The narrative that I find 9 times out of 10 that somebody, I'm not saying everybody, but somebody will come out with is that we try and be experts and tell people they're not seeing what they're seeing. And like what I say to everybody is, it's just my opinion. So I'm throwing my opinion into the hat for you guys to throw your opinion into the hat. And we only proved that the last episode when we had Rach, you know, our Rach comes onto the show. And I mean, even you got to admit, you were a little bit taken aback by her basketball knowledge was really savvy, you know, so that there's fans out there that they know what they're talking about, you know, and so it was quite refreshing to give my point of view. If you'd want to jump in my timeline, though, some of you are going to have to unblock me. Like, I've annoyed you so much, you block me. You're going to have to unblock me if you want to have a conversation. You know, that's going to be a must. I won't hurt you. I won't go at you, but. You know, let's have some healthy conversations out there, guys. It was good.
Yeah, no, I love the enthusiasm, the passion that our fans show towards British basketball. I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, what if once our league gets to the talent pool of, you know, those other top leagues, what other league will have not only the talent, but the storylines, the drama that our league consistently has week on and week out? And like I said, I always say that, and I said on the last episode, which no one actually mentioned, is that, you know, in regards to comms and all those things, I said that it is a preference. It is a personal preference. I talked about how Marv Albert was always my favorite. And so all this stuff is just opinions. You know what I mean? It's not, nobody's right. Nobody's wrong. It's just, you know, some people's opinion is a little bit more educated than others. But at the end of the day, it's all love, guys. Like, we love you all. Like, there's no hate. There's no,
it's why we do it. We create the talking points for you guys, for the fans. That's what we're here to represent. And like I said, every so often I'll pop my head over the Twitter wall and well, let's have a chat. Well, moving on. Let's get our guests into the room. Welcome Rafael and Joel.
How we doing?
How you doing?
It feels a bit weird, like, being the guest rather than being the host on a podcast these days. You know what I mean?
I love that. On the other I've got all the control now, Joe. I've got all the control. How does it feel? I don't think you look as comfortable as you usually do. You know?
I know. I've got no notes. I've got nothing to go off of. As I said, now we don't really go off notes on the Flyers podcast these days, so we just wing it.
You should be. There's no production duties afterwards. You could just hang up and go about your day, man. You got the easy job today, man.
It's the dream. The stuff dreams are made of. No editing required.
Well, let's start by putting everyone on the spot then. So the Marriott Minute has changed a little bit since we've last seen each other, Joel. So before we get into the main body of this interview, we warm you up with a quick fire round. I give you a question. You have to answer with one word. We have two people in the room, so I will declare whether it will be Rafael, Joel, or both of you to answer. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Okay, this is the Marriott Minute. Rafael, Joel, or Sam?
Joel.
Good answer.
Best BBL media presence outside of the Flyers, Joel?
London Lions.
Coach Andreas for both. Let's start with Rafael.
Inspired.
The GOAT.
Funniest teammate, Rafael?
Kevin, honestly.
Teammate most likely to be late, Rafael?
No answer.
Does that mean it's you?
Wait a minute.
I gotta look out for my guys.
there's definitely a fine attached to that. Unsung hero on the team, Joel.
Corey Samuels.
Dan or Ant, Joel.
Oh, Dan Routledge.
Favorite game day sneaker, both.
It can't go wrong with like a pair of dunks for the back, you know, off the court. A dunk.
You're allowed. Aaron lets you wear dunks. I thought you'd be saying brogues or something, mate. No, Rafael game day sneaker.
I just got GT jumps. They feel great, so I'm gonna go with it. Playing in them.
Okay, one for you, Rafael. Joel Osborne.
Hard worker.
One for you, Joel. Rafael Thomas Edwards.
This is tough. The man that wants to do everything. Legend. That's not really one word, but we'll take it.
We'll take it. The legend. We'll finish with legend. And finally, the Bristol Flyers, both of you.
A journey.
Oh, that's good.
Ooh. Finish deep.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's so good. I'm going to have to go with inspiring again. You know, I feel like Andreas is Bristol.
Andreas is Bristol. So we'll finish that. That's this week's Marriott Minute. Great job, guys. That was a lot of fun. Tough game at times. Over to you, Drew.
I mean, this was supposed to start off as a fun segment, but Jay, I see where you're taking this thing. You're making people choose allegiance and choosing sides, man. Jesus. I like it, though.
Gotta get the hits up, man.
I like
Gotta
it.
Gotta get the hits up.
Hey, well, we got obviously.
I've been trained by Joel, so.
Yeah, that's the media training coming through there. Good job, mate.
Nice. Well, speaking of media, obviously, you guys are a tag team tandem with the British Basketball League, which we'll touch on a little bit later. But Raph, I want to start with you because in 22, you had an amazing season for the Bristol Flyers and you were playing at a very high level. And then you go off and leave. And I actually just found this out today that you left to go coach a women's team in Germany. So just talk to us about, you know, why would you, in the prime of your career, you know, I guess it makes sense, Joel, you mentioned earlier, a guy that likes to do everything, but why would you do that, make that decision in your prime?
Well, actually, you know, I kind of told you about my girlfriend playing for Caledonia. So she was playing for the Bundesliga team, Hannover, and I went down there, visited, and I was given the opportunity, and then, you know, once in a lifetime opportunity to go from, you know, playing straight into coaching at such a high level, I thought, okay, it'd be a perfect opportunity for me to learn a different side of basketball. At the time, I wasn't really sure if I'd be coming back, but, you know, here I am, so we'll see how it's affected me so far.
So you chose love. It was love that was that inspired you.
you beat me to that one. Yeah.
It's always a woman, man.
The perfect time of year, right? I learned so much from the head coach there. She's the assistant for the women's German team. Like, but great basketball mind. So, you know, it sounds like it is love. Let's say that, because my girlfriend will probably listen to this too. But I learned so much basketball wise. I can just take, you know, into my, you know, next part of my career and, you know, past that as well. So I think it was, I wish I didn't have to quit basketball, but, you know, I can't be in two places at once. So I chose to go there, and Andreas gave me the chance to come back.
So why did you come back? What made you come back? So you get this unbelievable coaching experience. He does it for love. So this might need to be a Valentine's Day special, actually, Drew.
Hit that music, Josh.
But you decide to come back to the game. Like, was it just too big of a pull? And you needed to play again, or what were the reasons?
You know, I've been there 3 years. We kind of had some rough times. We went through COVID. You know, I learned a lot, but like on the coaching side of it, and I always had it in me. Like, I felt like I could do a little bit more. Like, I'm not finished. And then, you know, being able to see the players and like kind of, you know, when you're in it and there's a grind and like, you know, you're going through injury and wins and losses, you kind of, you know, you don't lose the love. You forget that you're doing it because you want to do it. And then seeing other people do it, seeing, you know, the professionalism that they had, I think, oh, man, like, you know, I've still got years in me. Let's see if I can still, you know, come back and contribute at the level I want to contribute. So it was just being around basketball. Like, coaching is great. But if you've chosen to stop and you still have the choice to play again, everyone I speak to, oh, if you can still do it, go back. So, you know, again, not everybody's fortunate enough to be able to come and play again. So, yeah, I feel like it'd be kind of disrespectful to everybody else if I didn't keep playing.
Yeah, man, you got to ride it until the wheels fall off. And it's good to have you back in the league. And obviously, you guys, it's a different dynamic for you this season because you're balancing not only the British Basketball League, but also Europe. And Joe, I want to get your perspective first, and then I want you to follow up, Ralph, is, you know, there was a lot of expectation on this team after last year, and especially with you guys going into Europe. You guys get off to a hot start in the British Basketball League. But since then, it's been a lot of inconsistencies. We can point at injuries a little bit of that. But the perspective that I want to get is dipping into Europe, which was supposed to be a more difficult task for not only you guys, but everybody else. Why has it seemed like it's been more comfortable in Europe than it has for the British Basketball League? So, Joe, I'd like to get your perspective from the, I say outside looking in, but you're the inside, and then get it from a player's perspective.
Yeah, I mean, the whole European campaign, it's new, isn't it? The EMBL, no one was really entering the EMBL. No one really knew what the EMBL was this time last year. And I know Andreas had been really pushing for the Flyers to play in a European competition at some point in the future. We didn't anticipate it being so soon, you know, as this season. Obviously, everyone knows that we have long-term plans to be in our own venue. And I think the original plan was for us to be playing European competition as we enter that venue. Obviously, plans have changed, and we're still waiting on certain outcomes for this application to now proceed, and we can start building our new home. But it's a case of what can we do now to sort of prepare ourselves and get ourselves ready to sort of, you know, be ready to play in these higher level of European competitions when that time comes for us to move into this bigger arena. So I think the whole European adventure was really exciting. It keeps players motivated. It keeps us, the staff, motivated. It's a learning experience for everyone. You know, for the players, it's learning what it takes to be able to compete in these midweek games. For us as backroom staff, it's like, you know, it's us learning what does it take for us to be able to sell tickets on a Tuesday night? How do we sell out games at SGS on a midweek, as well as keep selling out our games in the British Basketball League? And then on the court as well, it's a learning experience for coaches. How many players do you need to be able to compete in Europe and be able to, you know, how many players need to be able to keep in Europe and be able to put results together, as well as not drop form in the league? So obviously our league form has taken a dip as a result of that this season. I say dip, I mean, it's still very much very competitive in the league this season. I mean, you see like four or five teams now sitting on 11 wins. It's really super competitive in the middle of the pack. The reason that what I'd say is why the Flyers are competing well in Europe, I think it's something new for everyone. So, you know, you almost feel that, we feel it in the back room, that the players are getting more up for these midweek games. It's something different. The European adventures, they bring the team closer together. So it's really exciting for the club to be able to balance both at the same time. But I think more importantly than that, it has been a learning experience. So it's been super fun, and we're all really enjoying it right now.
Yeah. So what's been your perspective of it all, of the performances, of why they've been better in Europe in regards to the British Basketball League, Ralph?
You know, it's one of those things. It's a new experience for us. It's a new experience for a lot of the guys to kind of go into Europe. And I think, you know, both sides of it, the European team and us, we kind of get the first couple of possessions trying to figure each other out. And it's like, who's figuring it out quickest? And I feel like the games we've won, we've kind of been the fastest team to be, okay, let's play our game and let's let them see if they can keep up with us. And we've been successful. We've lost, you know, a couple at home games to really good teams and like back in, and there's only been a couple of possessions. I think when we're coming home, we have so many games, and you know, everyone's talked about and everyone's witnessed the injuries that we've gone through, kind of changing roles. And I feel like it's just basketball in itself. Some games, you know, you can get it right. Sometimes, you know, you're just a little bit out of it. And I think we just, you know, look at the, you know, timing of things, it just kind of helped us in the European competition. But, you know, saying that, I feel like it's just a good, you know, test to show where the BBL is. I think a lot of people don't really respect it or put the BBL where it is. And, well, you know, with London, Newcastle, with Caledonia, we've all had success in Europe. So I think it's been a surprise to a lot of people, because it is the first time some of these teams are going into Europe. But it just shows how good we are, like, as a country, as a league. And, you know, let's not, you know, put some disrespect on the teams that have been doing well in the BBL. Like, there's a lot of good teams. This year was so close. You know, a couple of games go differently for a different team, and the whole ranking is this whole standards is completely different. But I think the experience, it's just something that we can build on as a league. And I think it will just get better. We'll just have more success. And then, you know, as a Bristol Flyer, I want to say it's the end of the year. Then we can kind of look and see where everybody's standing is, as opposed to like right now.
Yeah. Well, Raph, let's deep dive a little bit. Let's get a little bit geeky around the on-court stuff. Like, what are you seeing in the European competitions that you're not seeing in the BBL? So for fans that haven't been able to catch up some of this European adventure, maybe from other teams and stuff like that, that want to understand what the differences are, what are you seeing in those European competitions that's very different to what you're seeing on the weekends?
Team to team, they're all different styles, but I think, you know, European basketball, they play, I don't want to say more methodical, but the way they play is a bit more surgical. They come, take a pass, another pass, another pass, another pass. There's a lot of ball movement, and then they get the shot that they kind of want, where, you know, as a BBL, we kind of play a lot faster, maybe a little bit more physical, depending on the team. And then we have a lot of, like, skilled guys who can, you know, go get a bucket, like, by themselves. And we kind of play around that. And, again, it's not taken away from European teams that have that ability and, you know, the BBL teams that do share the ball and, you know, move the ball around well. I think it's just, you know, one of those things that it's just the culture of basketball is a little bit different. Like, you see some of these European teams, these guys have been playing since young, and then they kind of play the same way. So when they're getting into the pro teams, they already know what kind of style they're playing. Whereas, like, you know, we have six Americans now who've been to different colleges that play different ways. And now they're all trying to figure out how to do it the way they're supposed to be doing it for the team that they're on now. But, you know, again, I wouldn't say which one's wrong or which one's right. I think it's just different. And then you can see game to game, our style of basketball is effective. Sometimes their style of basketball is effective.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting because Jay and I was talking about this off air last week because I mentioned to him about, and I said a little bit on air as well, is that being there at the Final Four last week, watching Caledonia and London play, very methodical. You could tell it was a more European style. Quality, probably better. Quality of play, most definitely. But then, like for me, from an entertainment perspective, Leicester and who do they play? Cheshire was way more entertaining, not only for me as a viewer.
Just the champions, Drew. Just the champs.
The champs. That's all they play. There we go. In the crowd as
well. We all make mistakes.
Yeah, exactly.
Mate, every week, he said the London Lions coach. See? Like he couldn't remember his name, you
see,
know?
We all go blank, guys. But Joel, I want to get your perspective because you're up there close on the style of play for you. What's more entertainment for you? Because there's always been this talk about it needs to be more of a European style of play here. But what if that's just our way, you know, in the next 10 years? Which style do you prefer watching up close?
I think, like, if you look at, like, the NBA style of play, like, it is very fast-paced. It is very entertaining. I think that's, you know, if a lot of players, when they come over to the UK, they always say, oh, the British Basketball League, the style of play we see in this league is very more suited to the American style of play. So, you know, when you put that sort of system into like a competition like the EMBL, we do find that our squad is a lot more athletic. A lot of these games we are getting up, and you're probably seeing it as well in Newcastle, Drew, when they're playing in EMBL games, is that it's a lot more up and down. They're really pushing the pace. And when they do push the pace, that's when they're their most successful. I think what I do love about the European style of play is that there are just so many different players that can do so many different things. So, you know, you've got bigs that can shoot the ball really well. They step out, they pull out the defense. It's not just, you know, a bunch of athletic guys going up and down the court. It's really methodical. And like, and sort of touching on what Raf said there as well, you know, you do see a lot more of the localized players sort of that have come through the junior pathway, the junior setup, that have played together for a long period of time or played on the national team for that specific country for a long period of time, playing together as a club. So you do have that sort of more close, tight-knit team dynamic. It's a good question. I do like the more up and down style of play. Like as any fan would, it's more entertaining to watch, but you do have to really appreciate some of the stuff that you're seeing from some of these European teams in the EMBL and the Euro Cup and the FIBA Europe Cup this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really interesting question around the fact that a lot of people talk about how we play, but there's so many different ways to play. It's just about having that performance pathway on the same page. So, you know, having played in Europe and more exclusively in places like Spain, you see that there's a genuine pathway, there's a genuine style of play, and they grow up. And even though you might go to different teams and might play in different systems, you still understand exactly what's required of you from that standpoint. So I think that's just the thing that's got to change, not necessarily that we can't carry on with this quote-unquote American style of play. It's just that everybody needs to be on the same page. Everybody needs to be performing that same way. So I think that'd be kind of interesting. Just to kind of move more to comms, you know, and both of you are on this journey, but Joel, for you, you know, you've been exclusively Bristol Flyers, you know, bringing these game day experiences to life, and then all of a sudden the league steal you away and throw you into the cabinet in London and force you into these comms. Well, I say force with tongue in cheek, but how's it been for you, like having to sort of, you know, almost step out of the comfort zone, really? Yeah. You know, in that studio that there is nobody, you must be about 7 feet tall in that studio. Now you got to come out, you got to go to London, do some different games. How's it been?
It's been really fun. I've really, really enjoyed it. I've had like a really big passion for like the commentary side of stuff. So just like when I first started, I mean, I started around six years ago doing Flyers only games. And that was when the British Basketball League had signed that deal with the Perform Group at the time so that all the games were being streamed. So they were asking all the clubs to put forward, you know, nominate someone from your club to commentate on your games. So I just a bit of reference, I sort of work for the Flyers full time since 2014 as well. So I was like, look, I need someone to do commentary. We can't afford to pay anyone. My background's in sort of media and journalism and content creation. I've obviously played at the Flyers Academy, SGS College. I've sort of had a not as high level as playing as like someone like Raf or something, but I have a knowledge of the game. Like I can talk about what I'm seeing. So I put myself forward, and then sort of the last 6 years or so, been doing Flyers home games in the British Basketball League. And then obviously the opportunity came across. I've been speaking with Manny and everyone at the league have done a great job on really revitalizing the production. And, you know, you see the world-class standard of production now coming out of Ealing. It's fantastic to see. They reached out and said, look, we'd love to keep you on board and if you'd be interested in doing games away from Flyers. And so every game this season I've done from Ealing hasn't even been a Flyers game. I still am getting the Flyers fixed because I do get to do the EMBL games on the Flyers YouTube right here from Bristol, which has been great. But I love going into a game with no it's tough as a member of staff because you've got a natural affinity to the club you're commentating.
Biased.
So as much as I tried in the past to like be
we're going to get to that in a little while, the bias.
I mean, with Flyers games though, like especially the EMBL games, because it is Flyers TV, we can have a very heavy Flyers focus on that. It's the same, you see it in the NBA, you have local broadcasts on League Pass, you know, they're dedicated to your team. So I do get that fixed still. I get to do that for EMBL games, but then going into these British Basketball League games and doing it from London, it's been a real breath of fresh air. I've really enjoyed it. Drew, I mean, you and I had done a game. We did the classic LVC Dusha miss layup. He missed it, you know, game. It was a really, I mean, entertaining game. Between Manchester and Plymouth. It was great fun. I've loved it, and hopefully they can keep giving me sort of further opportunities to sort of keep doing this going forward.
And by the way, Jay asked me a couple of weeks ago who was my favorite comms tag team. Not that I'd done many. And I mentioned Joel because still to this day on the British Basketball League channel this season, that clip, our call, is the most watched clip of anything that's on the channel. So we hold that little special moment together, Joel. But Raph, I need you to give everyone out their perspective because you know on social media, it's so many comments about how things should be done. But more importantly, about how easy it should be when you're in that position. Give us perspective of what's changed for you of being a player, going back, watching your games and seeing people commentated on to now you're actually in that seat. So just tell us, you know, how easy, how difficult it is and give the fans perspective.
Can I ask a quick question first? Is I know how Raph gets affected by his loved ones. Is this one of those things where Joel sort of dragged you along, or is this something you really want to do for a living? It's an honest question.
When I first thought about doing it, I didn't know I was going to be paired with Joel, but you know when it kind of matched up, it was like a blessing because he does a great job, and then he also, because I've known him for a while, he'll know when to give me a push. Hey, you're not really do what you need to do this, and then like you know, kind of lets me breathe, and I'm doing certain things. But no, I didn't know he was doing it. But again, you know, a match made in heaven is what we're working towards.
Just to give a bit of context to this, I mean, like Raph, since he's come back to the club at Bristol, and we did a feature on this. The league did a great feature on this since if I think of one of our first Sky games. But Raph's sort of been learning more about all the other sides of basketball. So obviously he's doing his thing on the court, but he's visiting us down in the office all the time at Bristol Sport. He's meeting the different departments. He's meeting the marketing team, the media team, the ticketing team, learning what they do, how it all works. And this sort of commentary side of things kind of came about because at the time, Aaron sort of reached out to all the players. Aaron Radin reached out to all the players and said, look, there's opportunities for you guys to put yourself out there. This is another side of the business that maybe you'd be interested in getting involved in, you know, post-playing career. This is an opportunity for you to do it whilst you're still playing, you know, games right now. So obviously Raph's taken to it. A couple other guys have been interested as well. We've seen players like Jordan Taylor get involved as well. It's been really great to see and have that sort of platform for these guys to dip their toes in the water whilst they're still playing and hopefully see if that's something they want to do once they finish playing post, you know, retirement.
Love
yeah,
that.
So give us,
sorry,
so give us that,
get back to Drew's
yeah, so
question.
Give us that,
sorry,
perspective,
bud.
First of all, you got yourself as there's people talking and they're like counting you down and when you're supposed to do stuff. I got to watch the timings of how they're saying things. I can't just like watch the game. So it's way harder than I would have thought. And even so, I didn't think it was going to be an easy task. I'm thinking, okay, you know, I have to make sure I say things a certain way. I can't, you know, if I'm, just at home sitting in front of the team. I just say whatever. No one's there to hear me. So, like, you know, I don't have to worry about how I'm saying things or whatever. But I think it's been an enjoyable experience. I think, you know, like Joe was saying, I've been trying to do as much as I can with everything. I think last year kind of gave me a different perspective in terms of, you know, when you're playing, sometimes it feels like that's it, like just playing. Like there's no other sides of it. But then when you kind of go on the other side, it's like, you know, the fans are important. Like people that cover it are important. Like the media team are important, and not just kind of important, because if you have a bad part of your, you know, overall team, then that can affect other things. Or like, for example, I would say, you know, if I hadn't done it and kind of pushed it out, then someone from a different team is going to do it. And that team is going to get a bit more coverage. And then, you know, the storyline behind that team is going to be pushed the same way. So I think every intricate part is important for, you know, the success of the organization. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to do it. But yeah, it's been an up and down thing. My last one, I'm thinking, I'm looking at it, is it like a player? I kind of got to watch it back. Like, I probably shouldn't have said this, or I could have said that, or I didn't really get my thought out as clear as I wanted to get it out. But again, it's just going to be a work in progress, like anything.
Yeah, I think that's honestly like the beauty of the league, though, is like we're still growing. And that's what kind of like, you know, I don't want to be an arse about it, but it kind of does annoy me on the social medias and stuff like that, because this is the whole point of it, is that we're going to all be growing through the process. You know, so if it was absolutely immaculate and perfect in its first year, I mean, it's just not reality. But, you know, Joel, just, you know, there's a lot of fans talking about biased commentary. And I mean, mostly it's aimed at the London Lions. But, you know, first of all, like, what are your thoughts? But then also as well, do we care if it's biased? You know, we look at the Premiership, for example. I use Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher, for example. They are honestly Man United fan and a Liverpool fan. You know, when myself and Drew talk, like, it's quite obvious he's an Eagle. Even though he has used to be a Raider as well, he doesn't talk about it that much, but he's an Eagle, right? And everybody knows he's a Newcastle Eagle. Everyone knows I'm from Plymouth. For Christ's sake, my accent doesn't change, you know? So do we care? And like, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I was literally about to bring out that same point where, like, you look at football now and you've got, like you say, you've got Gary Neville. Like, we have, I reckon, if you look at the league sort of talent pool they're using this season, there is some representation from pretty much every club. You've got Mike Tuck from Sheffield. You've got Rob Palinostro from Leicester. You've got Drew from Newcastle. Like, there's always people that are going to have, you know, we're all fans at the end of the day. Like, we all support our club. Like, you can't, like, take that away from us. I think the difference is, as a lead commentator, you do need to sort of be as down the middle as you possibly can. But that's the reason why I don't do Flyers games on the British Basketball League YouTube channel, you know, because I do work for the club, and that is my club. So I completely understand where you're coming from with it. But in terms of, like, the biasness, I don't see it as a bad thing at all. And in terms of, like, other stuff as well, like the amount of preparation that goes in, like, I know exactly how much preparation these guys do to be able to talk about their teams, the amount of notes. Like, people make mistakes as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone makes mistakes. You see Drew making a mistake on the podcast every other week. I'm joking.
Yeah, I'm joking. Drew he was joking. He meant every week, not every other week.
I told you last episode, people fuck up all the time.
Do you know what I do need to say is, like, obviously people went really over the top on the bold guy comment with Azania. They were just literally, the first thing I thought about in my head, because I was watching it live, was Drew. I was like, he would definitely have said that. And we know Kimball really well, you know, so.
Yeah, everyone knows who Kimball McKenzie is. Yeah. It's not a mistake. It's not, she knows who he is. It's not an error.
Live in the moment, though, it's so difficult that once you trip over your words, it's really, really hard. I mean, we were fortunate enough to, you know, be filming the show last year and get to travel around all over the place. And we were lucky that it wasn't live, because the amount of times me and Drew were just like, what we stopped doing after a little while. So this is experience for people that want to get in this industry, is you've got to let it go. Like, so the amount of times early doors, we'd just be stumbling through it. And Drew's just looking at me like, just let it go, you idiot. And I'm just like trying to save it. And then he goes, right, we'll have to do that again. I'm like,
damn it.
So yeah, it's tough, man, yeah. Isn't it? It's tough.
Everyone makes mistakes in this situation. Like the amount of times I've missed a call or I've got a player wrong, like it happens. And it's and obviously this season as well, doing it remotely from doing it off tube, as they like to call it, like doing it through a screen rather than being there in the arena in person, it is a different skill altogether. I hadn't done that until this season. Now every game I'm doing is basically off tube. To create that same kind of excitement, to be able to see everything that's going on the court. Sometimes you're missing things like technical fouls. To be able to, if you're in an arena, you can look around, you can see what people are talking about. Essentially, when you're doing a game off tube, you're seeing exactly what the viewer is seeing at home. And to be able to portray that kind of excitement and that emotion without actually being there in the arena is a skill in itself. So, I mean, I've got so much appreciation for everyone on the talent pool, and I'm very much new to this compared to the likes of Dan Routledge, Ant Rowe. They've been doing it for years, and I look up to them so much. Like, these are the guys that I was listening to, watching basketball as a kid, growing up, and now to sort of be in that opportunity to be in the office with those guys, to learn from them, to take information, it's been massive. So I understand how much preparation goes into these sort of games, and you know, everyone does make mistakes. So I really don't think that the community can be getting on these people's backs as much as they have been at the moment.
I was saying, I think the bias, like some of it is, you know, they always talk about their team, but me at the beginning, like, yeah, that's right. So like, we have to have someone to, like, you know, I became progress, and then, you know, got Joe doing stuff, and I felt like if I could get all my teammates to do it, let's do it, and then we could be biased for us, and then like that's how we kind of get over it. It's just a passion. It's just, you know, we kind of grow up a certain way, or we experience a team a certain way, so like that's who we love, and that's who we like cherish, and you know, being non-biased in the game, but then the team that I want to lose for us to go up loses, like, isn't it, you know, better for me, more authentic for me to be like, yeah, like, you know, thank God they lost because it's better for us, like, da, 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 da. So I think, you know, you prefer if everyone's non-biased in a perfect world, or you can kind of, you know, counteract that with everybody, you know, having representation.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, and the league needs to be applauded for this, is, and Jay, you made this point earlier, is that all the people that's behind the scenes, and you look at our product in the last year, think about how fast it's moved, and to the point to where, you know, 2 years ago, we had a steel camera in there that couldn't even keep up with fast breaks. Now we have this state-of-the-art production. And from a fan's perspective, you know, we're holding everything to a higher standard, where the people behind the scenes are, I would say, more seasoned than the people that are in front of camera. Like the talent, as we say, like all the talent is pretty much, you know, young in their careers. Myself, Joel, even at Roe. I mean, Dan Routledge is probably the only one that has a long runway of experience, but it could be easy for Aaron Raiden to say, hey, you know what? I want our talent to be matched up with the production. So let's go hire people from the outside who is, you know, at a really high level. But instead, he's taking the opposite approach and say, hey, Ralph, you've never done comms. That's okay. Come and do it. Jordan Taylor, you've never done comms. We know you guys are going to stumble through it. We know there's going to be some growing pains, but you know, we're looking at the bigger picture. And I think having the opportunity as a player to have these different avenues is just phenomenal, because we all know from a player's perspective, you know, all you're thinking about when you're in it is playing. And then that day comes when it's over and you're scrambling, trying to figure out what's next. And now that we have an avenue for guys like Ralph to be thinking about that second life whilst he's playing, you know, it's going to be so much better for, you know, generation players that come behind him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, let's kind of just finish off then just by, you know, centering this back to kind of Bristol Flyers, Ralph, and let's get you back in the player saddle. You know, we've got the run in now for the BBL, obviously qualification for Europe and things like that. What's the ceiling here for the Bristol Flyers? Because Joel's absolutely right, is that whilst maybe you're not where you exactly want to be, you know, you're not far off of being there because the league is so uber competitive. I mean, obviously the elephant in the room is that London are going to be, it's going to be tough that they're going to drop a number of games, but it's plausible with all these highs and lows with the rest of the teams that you could chase down a really good playoff spot for that run. Is that the plan for you guys? Are you more focused on Europe? You more focused on the BBL, trying to keep a balance? Are you going to give me the one game at a time speech? Where are you going to go with this?
We gotta keep a balance of both things. Like we wanna win at the end of the day. So it's not like we're gonna wanna win this more than we wanna win that. You know, we've had injuries, but a lot of people have had injuries. I think the biggest thing is the injuries have come and it's been like a change in role, and it's trying to figure it out. Where, you know, a team where everybody's been perfect for the couple of months now. Everybody's knowing exactly what they're doing, and it's just being consistent with that. I think, you know, it's a very tight league. I think it's, you know, 2 all the way through 8 is like super, super close. So it's about getting a couple of wins in a row and making sure we're the team that we are supposed to be come in playoff times. So like, you know, it'd be perfect seeded to be 2. And then, you can work into playing a better team. But, you know, the reality is, if we're not our best selves by playoffs, it doesn't matter what seed we are. First round's going to be a loss. So I think that's the most important thing for us, just making sure that we're our best selves come playoff time. And then, yeah, of course, we want to be, you know, the highest seed we can be. Like, I'm a competitor. You can ask me any time. We can be the last team in the league. Like, our goal is still to win the whole league. And then EMBL, I think, you know, we're in a good position right now. The seeding that has to be figured out on the other side. So we don't really know who we're playing, but again, I think we want to win that. And then from my personal view, I think the better we do in that, the more it speaks for the league. So I think that's important as well.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to Bristol Flyers versus Newcastle Eagles in the final. And boy, how cool that would be. But
see, biased.
Yeah,
see,
of course.
Biased here. I do want to finish off with one last. This is the last question for me. Joel, we can't leave without giving the Bristol Flyers podcast a little shout out. But what I want to know is, with your newfound fame this year, like, has there been any sort of jealousy between yourself and Sam coming along? You know, has there been any tension this year?
No, I don't think there's been any tension. Sam is very happy sort of doing his thing. Sam doesn't even do any preparation on the podcast. He just rocks up and I do all the prep, the notes and stuff. He just rocks up and chimes in the conversation. So
Sam is the least bothered. That's for sure, isn't it? You know,
but in all seriousness, no, he's all good. He's all good. I think, to give it a little plug, if you want to give it a little plug, it used to be every Wednesday. It's not every Wednesday anymore. Sometimes it's Thursday. Sometimes it's Friday.
Once a week
on all major podcast providers and YouTube, we're on. And each week we get a guest on. We chat a bit. We try and chat about everything other than basketball. Talk a bit about Flyers as well. But it's like an opportunity to sort of get to know our athletes on a bit more of a personal level. So go check it out. Bristol Flyers podcast. Oh, actually, I might have a little. If this works, does this work? Play with me. Does this work?
You're listening to the Bristol Flyers podcast.
Did you hear that?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Boom. He's had that planned.
They're going to cut that out, Joe.
There you go.
That's one for us. We love it, man. We love the podcast. And as long as they listen to it afterwards, we're happy.
Hey, we had you guys on the pod. We had you guys on the pod last year. So
it was a good chance
to return the favor today.
The famous Aaron Raiden story, that backfired on me massively, that one.
I'm still trying to get Aaron to come on the Flyers podcast. I need to reach out to him at some point, actually. If you're listening to this, Aaron, I'll send you an email, maybe ahead of All-Star game.
He listens every week, mate. He listens every week, we know.
Yeah. Well, guys, appreciate your time. Ralph, I know you guys had a tough game in Glasgow last week, so appreciate you stopping by, Joel. Always a pleasure. Hopefully we can get back in that chair again and create some magic. But until then, we'll catch you guys on the road, fellas.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
We've teamed up with an incredible basketball clothing brand that's going to take your style and game to a whole new level. Get ready to elevate your passion for basketball, both on and off the court, because we're proud to introduce our collaboration with Always Ballin', the brand that's redefining basketball fashion. That's right, folks. Always Ballin' isn't just a clothing brand. It's a lifestyle. Whether you're shooting hoops at the park, catching a game with your friends, or just want to rock some seriously stylish threads, Always Ballin' has got you covered. So until then, keep listening to us here at the pod for the latest on all things basketball. And remember, when it comes to style and passion for the game, we're Always Ballin'.
Well, that was a nice tag team.
Man, that was a lot of fun. I feel like lately we're hitting our podcast stride. You know, that Maceo one, awesome. You know, like getting to sit down with Megan and then, you know, because of the popularity of the podcast, she gets her WNBA contract. And now we get to sit down with the Flyers boys, and it's always fun when Joel's around, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you mentioned, dribble, dribble, step back, swish. But let's quickly, I mean, because we don't have much time, let's flow into Hot Topics that's sponsored by SoFab Sports. And the only thing on the menu, Jay, is to touch on, we come out of this beautiful high off the trophy. We watching Cheshire celebrate on the socials in the first game back Thursday. Looking forward to it. Plymouth versus Manchester, two teams that's jockeying to make the playoffs. And at the end of that game, we have the Rumble in the Sports Performance Center in Manchester. What was your thoughts on that whole situation?
Well, I think like many of us, we're looking at it from far away. You know, and you know, let's not be silly about it. We've all had our messages, and there's all been the conjecture and the people that were involved in those situations. I'm with you, a million percent. I've known Jamel for a really long time, so something must have really gone wrong in that situation. But the thing that I was left with thinking about was, I think it was a little bit of a reality check that we're still going through a period of change. So we're growing, social media following's growing. You know, we've just talked about in terms of media production, marketing, all these things are taking huge growth, which then in turn is going to be putting our players more in the limelight as we're telling more and more stories about our players, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to have to realize that the game day experience itself, especially from perhaps a security standpoint, is going to need to change. And I think a classic example of that is what happened in that game. You know, I think sadly there's still an element of what we were before. In terms of accessibility, that was what's so great about Plymouth, right, Drew? And I'm sure that you had it in Newcastle as well, is, you know, what was great for these youngsters coming to the games or the super fans was that after the game, win or lose, they could come onto the court and they could interact with us and they could have autographs and everything else like that. And I've had nothing but amazing experiences through my career, but you can see how those things could go wrong, right? Especially as the profile of those players go up, you know, and I'm thinking more exclusively of a Sam Decker that's perhaps had that NBA experience and things like that. And with some of the, you know, there's going to be that light and dark to what's going on this season. And what I mean by that is a positivity and a negativity. And it only takes somebody to feel really negatively towards, say, a Sam Decker, for example, and be able to have too much access to him is going to be a problem. So I think it's just something that we're going to have to look at. It wasn't great. But again, I'm just not buying into all this noise on the socials where they're like both teams owned by the league. Like that doesn't matter. Like that wasn't a fabricated situation that was controlled by 777. You know, like that was just something that's happened that is probably a gray area that will now become a big highlight for the league to talk about security.
Yeah, that's a great point. I didn't actually think about that, but you're absolutely right. With the more prestige, the more media coverage, the more that these guys become stars, the less access that fans are probably going to have. I mean, you think about it, we're getting more and more NBA players in this league. And so there's going to be, you're right, because we're always looking at pointing a finger. And, you know, when I was asked this on social media and I seen this and I was thinking, who's the first person to blame? Because you're right about Jamel. He was provoked or something was said disrespectful just of his history and judging his character. He's just not going to run at someone for no reason. But the first thing that I wanted to point at was the security in Manchester. I'm like, how does it spill over that much without security stepping in? Because, and this is speculation. I mean, we've been told a lot. The only thing that I will share is that whoever the fan was, had been saying things throughout the game. And so at that case, that's when security got to step in and say, hey, you got to tone it down and you got to get out of here. And so, you know, I don't know what Manchester Giants security situation is, but you're right. There's a wake up call that this situation provides, and there needs to be a standard across the league of what's required at a game day experience, because there's no way that a player or players should be able to come over to the front row. You know, there should be three guys in yellow jackets that's already creating that boundary. And so, and so you're right. And so, you know, that's,
well, let me ask you this, you know, cause you can answer this question from a Newcastle perspective. At Newcastle, you know, do they use a security company, or is it volunteers?
No, it's an external company. That every time I even roll up the Virtue, I got to explain who I am to drive through. You know what I mean? Because they obviously don't know who I am, but that's the way it should be.
Do you get angry? I'm Mr. Lasker.
I just say, do you not know who I am? No, I'm just kidding. But no, that's the way it should be at all these venues. It should be external security in yellow jackets. That's just keeping all this stuff on lock. So yeah, that's right. It's a wake up call. And yeah, the league running these both teams is irrelevant. The point that I made, or I was trying to make on Twitter about the irony of it, because people were talking about the teams being fined. And I'm like, well, if you fine the organizations, who's going to pay for the fine? I mean, the league is going to fine themselves, which, by the way, there were people on social saying that it's unexcusable and the British Basketball League itself should be a shame and all this. And I'm like, how can a league control this? This type of stuff can happen in any type of league, right? I mean, the league has nothing.
It's happened at the top levels. Nothing to do
about what transpired Thursday night. That's between teams and players, right? Like, it just, you know, the league obviously just, it has to be held responsible for whatever, or get down to the bottom of it. But yeah, I'll be interested to see what happened. They haven't said much. Obviously, they got a lot of footage that they got to dig through. But I just walked away saying, it needs stricter security, and these teams need to be bought out ASAP, because this puts the league in a really awkward position when it comes down to putting down the hammer. Because what if you're potentially suspending six or seven guys? You know, so it's just tricky.
Yeah, I think on that point, I think like we can just put it down to a growth point, right? So this is one of those situations that's happened. I think thankfully, you know, It didn't get as ugly as it could have got. You know, it could have got really out of hand. You know, so thankfully it kind of ended up being contained in the end. So you can always learn a lesson from that. So let's see how it unplays over the next couple of weeks and see how it is. But you're right. Yeah, definitely. Both those teams need to get bought, and that kind of makes that kind of noise go away as well. Just to finish off, game of the week. Don't know about you, Mr. Lasker, if there's anything that you're looking forward to, but obviously with how tight the league is currently, I'm really interested to see the Newcastle Caledonia game. You know, I know Eagles would be perhaps a little bit disappointed with this weekend and want to get back to best. You know, Caledonia, you know, have not been outstanding, but they have been very consistent in the league. You know, probably if I was one of the two coaches, I'd probably be really happy if I was Gareth Murray, because I feel like there's probably more in the tank. Like, I know that we've been waiting for some performances there from Caledonia, and I feel like they're just on the surface. So that, I think that's going to be a great game.
Yeah, and this is a topic for next week, because obviously we don't have time. But, you know, I'm thinking of what's going on with the Sheffield Sharks. You know, you flame out of the trophy competition.
That's a conversation.
You started off by getting waxed by Surrey at Surrey. You have a chance to redeem yourself in the league after you had time off, and you get waxed again by Surrey. And so they play London at, London away on Thursday, and then London home on Sunday. So we need to, this will give us a sense of where exactly they are, because they get to be tested against the best. We know they've, you know, deepened up their roster. So I'm going to be keeping a close eye on them because they've kind of flown under the radar because our attention has been on, you know, Caledonia being up and down, the Surrey struggles. But we haven't talked about much about Sharks and their recent poor form. And so I'm going to keep a close eye on that.
Yeah, they seem to have really hit the skids right now. So hopefully they steady up and get that going. Finally, it's time to give that player a nickname with Hoopin' and Lootin', the UK number one jersey destination and home of the Basketball Creators Platform, a celebration of basketball coaches and entrepreneurs in the UK. This week's pick is, we're sticking with the Flyers, we're going with big man in the paint, Brad Green. Tell us what you think he should be called. Anyway, that's it from me this week. Thank you, as always, for your support. If you think your brand would benefit with some love on the pod, then please jump in our DMs. Fans, we love it. Keep it coming. Keep the conversations flowing. Until then, Drew, lead us out.
Yeah, brands, come on down. Get you a shout out on the show. Get some brand recognition. But yeah, another great week. The league is just flying by. We're already in February. All-Star Game will be here before we know it. Appreciate you guys tuning in. As always, make sure you go like, subscribe, leave a comment, get active on the socials as you guys do every single week. And Jay and I, you know where to catch us, consistent as ever, back here in the seat next week to bring you all the British Basketball League gossip. But until then, have a great week, guys.